Adam going the other way. It's going to be a very long sermon. We'll see what happens. Of course, it'll be your luck. It will be a long sermon. Nobody's laughing at that one. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. A very familiar passage, one you know very well. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" I've been troubled for years by the statement Jesus made, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." Now, we think of evil as satanic, as sinful, as doing that which is contrary to the will of God, okay? And we certainly are guilty of having sinned. We're guilty of having done things contrary to the will of God. But when Jesus is calling or saying that we are evil, it is the same way that he's using the phrase, "If you come after me and hate not your father, your mother, your children, your wife, your own life, you're not worthy to be my disciple." And of course, what that is a figure of speech where Jesus, between your commitment to him and your commitment to others, that you must love him before you love others. You must love him more than you love others. And the same way as the word evil is being used in this context, God is good. Jesus is approached by a rich young ruler one day, and the man said, "Good master, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Don't call me good. There's none good except God." If you're not going to recognize Jesus as God, if you're going to recognize him as a man, then don't call him good. So we're not good. Not like God is good. We are evil. Not like Satan is evil, but we are evil, meaning less than good. Does that make sense? Less than good. And we love Christ more than we love our parents. We love our parents less than we love Christ. And so that's the way this figure of speech is being used. So he's not actually saying that you're a bunch of evil rascals that are, you're not worth saving. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that you're not good, and there's only one other word to be used, and that is evil. So we're less than good. And yet we give good gifts to our children. We give them what they need. And if we, being less than good, give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask you? What did you bring as a gift for our annual Christmas party tonight? Now, don't tell me. Just leave it wrapped up. Let it be a surprise, all right? What did you bring? Morgan called me last week. I'm going to pick on Morgan a little bit. She called me last week, and she was asking for an idea of what she could bring. And she said she wanted to bring something. Now, this is a quote that all the ladies would fight over. That's a quote. And what she's meaning by that is she wanted to bring something that all the ladies would want. Well, bless her heart. You know, that's a great goal. That's a great goal. You know, you could go out and wrap up a piece of cardboard and bring that. Well, that just wouldn't be something everybody would want. You know, and nobody's going to, you know, Dirty Santa, that's pretty dirty. And nobody's going to want to trade for that, obviously. So if you bring something that everybody wants, that's a great thing. And that's the idea. But let's face it. We all want to bring the perfect $10 gift. $10 gift. How many perfect ones are there in that price range? I mean, come on. And yet, folks, these are disposable gifts. These are things that you can re-gift. to somebody you don't like very well, okay? Or you can just toss them if they're not of value to you. That's understandable because these are gag gifts. They're fun things. And some of them, little blankets keep you warm, a little Santa Claus that's on the shelf looks nice. A ratchet will turn and a screwdriver will turn. And that's great. But they're disposable $10 gifts. They don't mean anything. It's the joy of playing together and enjoying being together. That's the thing of it. But I have seen people actually get upset because they didn't get to keep a $10 gift. And in fact, that action, that attitude has actually turned some people off from playing the game, and that's a shame. Remember, it's all in fun. But the point is, the point of this lesson, we all want the perfect gift. We do. We want the perfect gift. We want to be able to give it. We want to be able to receive it. Something that will meet a need. Something that is valuable to us. We can see a use for it. And something that we can enjoy. Three things that make up the perfect gift. Something that meets a need, something that's valuable to us, and something we can enjoy. Brethren, God understands this concept very, very well. In James chapter 1, verse 17, I ended with this verse this morning. I'm going to begin with it tonight. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The perfect gift, the best gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Long ago and far away, a baby was born in a stable. He was wrapped in rough cloth, and he was laid in a feeding trough. And he was God's best gift, the best gift that could be given to man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, the perfect gift meets a need, and Jesus met man's greatest need, redemption, restoration, salvation. He met the greatest need. Now, I'm not talking about baby Jesus. Baby Jesus did not meet man's need. I'm talking about full-grown Jesus. Tested and proven Jesus. Sinless Jesus. Dying Jesus is the one who met man's needs. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There was no other gift that God could give that was so precious and at the same time so effective at meeting man's needs. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, because of flesh, because the law was given to flesh, the law could not save flesh. It could not save sinful man. The law required perfection, and no man could be perfect, so no man could be saved by law keeping. So God did, by sending what the law could not do, God did. We can stop right there, but we're not going to. But that's a powerful statement. What the law could not do, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of or because of sin, and He condemned sin in the flesh. Not only did God give, God did something to save sinful man, but Jesus did something too. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, you've heard this sermon or this passage many times in many sermons. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. One translation says, emptied himself. Emptied himself. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. God's gift, Jesus Christ, his death, God's gift met man's greatest need. Well, what else makes up the perfect gift? Something that's valuable to us. God's gift is truly valuable to us. When we believe in Jesus, and if you don't believe in Jesus, then this gift is not valuable. But if you believe in Jesus, if you commit yourself to Him, then you're doing more than simply accepting facts. The gospel is more than just facts to be believed. There's more to it than that. There's a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. A personal commitment that you make to be His servant, to follow Him, to love Him and obey Him. So when you believe in Jesus, you're doing more than simply accepting facts. We are committing ourselves to accepting and receiving God's gift on God's terms. And so we come to realize that this gift means something to us because God is offering us salvation. And that's precious to us. Salvation is precious to us. As I talk to some of you older men and women, you know that the day of your departure is coming. You know it. I'm not trying to rush it. I was sitting here a moment ago as we're singing the song, How Great Thou Art. And I'm thinking about my own life. I'm 63. I'll be 64 if God lets me see February 11th. I'll be 64 years old. There's a lot more years behind me than there are ahead of me in this world. And those of you that are significantly older than me, your days are numbered. They are. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't want to be gloom and doom. But the reality is, you know, if we live to be 70, that's good. And if we live by reason of strength to be 80, that's even greater. But how much more can you have? How much more can you have? Elliot's 81 today. 81. I remember seeing Elliot down there at that house painting, rolling that roller on that ceiling. Henry, how old is Myram? How old is Myram? 91. And I saw Myram on her hands and knees with a scraper, scraping the floor in that house. I remember that. I will never forget that. Now, Elliot, I don't know if you're going to be up there doing a whole lot of looking up painting right now. And I don't think Myram's going to be getting down on the floor scraping any floors anytime soon. Because the days are getting by. The years are going by fast. And the day of our departure is coming sooner rather than later. It's just the way it is. We're running out of time in this world. And the closer we get to that time, the more emotional we get, the more real it becomes to us. I'm going to tell you, heaven and hell are more real to me now than ever before in my life. How's that for you? Is it the same for you? I'm telling you, this gift that God is giving to us becomes more precious and more valuable. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, it is priceless and it is powerful, this gift. It is priceless and it is powerful. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh yeah. This is a valuable, valuable gift. Ephesians 1, 3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Thank God that you are in Christ. Thank God every day that you've been blessed to be in Christ, because so many millions, yea, billions, are not in Christ. Not in Christ. Peter told the rulers of the Jewish people, there is no other name. These people rejected Jesus. They rejected Him. And Peter says to them, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. His is the only name that will save. His is the only name that will give us a chance. That needs to be valuable. And brethren, we cherish our gift from God. It has become of great value to us as we've come to realize more and more the price Jesus paid to save us. And finally tonight, we want a gift that's not only something that meets a need and something that's valuable to us, but we want a gift that we can enjoy. Now for years, I have told Faye and the girls, I want something at Christmas that I can play with. I don't care. One year, Mick got me a tribble. Now, some of y'all know what a tribble is, and most of you think I'm out of my mind. A tribble is this furry little made-up thing that was on Star Trek that has no use, no value, but all it does is eat and multiply. And so Mick got me a tribble. It's just a little mechanical thing, had a battery in it, and it was in a pet box. And I'm thinking, he got me a live pet, and the thing was moving. It was vibrating and moving. It's like, what in the world? And I open the box, and it's like, just purring at me and moving, and what is this? And I pull it out, and I realize it's a tribble. It's just a little toy. It's just a toy. Just a toy. But it's something I could play with. I still have it. I took the batteries out, but I still have it. I love having something to play with. Now, you know, I like tools. Man, you can play with some tools. There's only so much you can do with a hammer, though. Right? You start breaking stuff if you're not careful. But I love having something to play with, something to enjoy. There's great joy in being a Christian. Great joy in good times and in bad. We see people in the Bible who celebrated in times of blessing, but we also see people who rejoiced in times of trouble. And they gave us an example to follow. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, I'm going to give you rest from the load of sin. I'm going to give you rest. This is something you can enjoy. Do you like good rest? After we finished wrapping and cooking and getting things ready for today, Faye and I sat down in our little chairs. Well, my big chair, her little chair. And we fell asleep for a little while. I set my alarm to wake me up at 3:30. Had one of my favorite songs come on. Boy, it set me in a good mood. Woke me up from that little nap. Enjoyed it so much, got a little bit of rest. Rest is so good, it's so pleasant. We not only have the ability to enjoy the rest that God offers, but Jesus offers us peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4 and verse 7. And we have confidence in God in addition to that. Three times in the book of in the books of Corinthians, Paul said, God is faithful. God is faithful. You can count on Him. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 10, 13, and 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. And finally, assurance of salvation, 1 John 5 and verse 13. All of these are evidence that this is a gift that we can enjoy. Salvation, the gift of God, the gift of eternal life, the gift that Jesus brings to us, eternal life. In John 10, 27, 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Are you listening to this, folks? Are you hearing what Jesus is saying? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You have something you can enjoy. Confidence, assurance, peace, rest, life. And we get to enjoy this gift now and throughout all eternity. You know, a person may not receive much in this physical world, may not ever receive much, but one has been blessed with riches untold if he has received God's best gift. Eternal life. If Jesus is the center of your life, you are in possession of the best gift anyone could ever receive. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God's best gift. He offers it to you. Eternal life, salvation, hope, assurance, confidence, rest, peace, purpose. We talked about all these things this morning. Tonight I'm inviting you, if you're not a Christian, to come to Jesus before it's too late and let Him save you. Accept God's best gift. And if you're already a child of God but you've not been faithful to serve the Lord, as we had two this morning that came forward, we invite you to do the same. Come on up and we'll have prayer with you and God will bless you. He'll forgive you and restore you, whatever your need. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.